Welcome to Solid Start, a Monday podcast designed to help you get your week off to a solid start by focusing on life from God's perspective. I'm Greg Reed, life coach here at Merrill Brothers, and I have the distinguished privilege of being alongside of Brian Herzog. Brian, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
How was the weekend?
Yeah, it was a good weekend. Good weather. Got to help a friend of mine start a church plant this weekend.
So you did?
Here in Kokomo, so I was really excited.
Oh, how exciting is that? Yeah. I didn't know that was happening.
Yeah,
that's great.
A church from Uganda getting planted here in the United States. So, yeah, it's
pretty
awesome.
In Kokomo, Indiana?
In Kokomo. So, I'll talk more about that in another podcast.
How great. Yeah, we'll have to interview you. We'll get you on the microphone then. That's very exciting.
Yeah, it was great.
I think my highlight of the weekend was my grandson being baptized.
That's awesome.
He's 9 years old. And so, it was just so great to see him up there. The church that they're a part of, they baptized 163 people.
In a weekend?
Between two locations.
Okay.
163 people. So, man,
it
was amazing. So, it was just so fun to be a part of the service. And my daughter asked, my grandson's sister said, hey, would you ever want to be baptized? She's six. And she said, Mom, I never want to be baptized.
Baptized.
So her mom said, well, why not? And she said, well, I'm not going to get in front of all those people naked. So in her little six-year-old mind, she thought, like, getting in the water,
it's
like you get in a bath and you don't have any clothes on. And so I'm thinking, I'm not signing up for that one either, I promise you. So anyway, hopefully she got to watch it. She sat through the whole service, watched her brother get baptized, watched the, participate in the rest of the service. So it was just so exciting. Then I have another grandson being baptized this coming weekend in Atlanta, Georgia. So just
congratulations,
as a grandpa, it's just great to see that, man, the faith is getting passed on to my kids and now to my grandkids. So that was by far the highlight of the weekend. So this morning was a highlight as well. We had the privilege of having Cody Barnes tell his story. And one of the things that got my attention this past week in reading through our New Testament was in John 9, there's a story about a man who's born blind. And then Jesus heals him. The Pharisees aren't happy at all because it happened to be on the Sabbath, and they were not thinking that that was protocol on the Sabbath. So I just thought about Cody's story. Is that he was blind, not physically blind, but he was spiritually blind. The enemy had his life in his hands and was ready to destroy him, but God took off the blinders one day. So, Cody Barnes, welcome to Solid Start. Thanks so much for taking time to be here today, and we are so excited for you to tell your story. Tell us a little bit about yourself, about your family first.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm 33 years old. I'm
but a wee child.
Yeah.
I think I have socks that old, Brian.
I've got a beautiful wife, Brittany.
Yes, you do.
Two kids with her, Ridge and Kinsley's the oldest. We live here in Kokomo. I've worked here at Merrill Brothers for about a little over 3 years now.
Okay.
That's pretty much what there is to say about me so far.
Great. Well, tell us a little bit about growing up in terms of your relationship with God, your connection with faith.
Yeah.
How was that? And then where did the, where did the blinders really start to cover your eyes so you couldn't see well?
Yeah. So it's funny you mentioned your grandson being baptized at 9. I'm pretty sure that's probably the age that I was baptized as well.
How great.
Okay. So I grew up in the First Baptist Church in Tipton, and I'll never forget that morning I got baptized because we found out right before the baptism that the heater was not turned on the night before. And it was cold.
I hate it when that happens.
It was cold.
Oh, yes, it is.
Pastor Huffman looked at me and he said, you're never going to forget this. I promise you that.
Spiritual moment.
Yeah. And he was not kidding either. So, yeah, but I grew up in church. We went to church every weekend and had a good relationship with the pastor and everybody there at church. But, it seemed like... So I think as kids, you kind of practice your parents' faith, right?
Sure.
The type of walk that they have.
Right.
And mine was a little bit better than Christmas, Easter Christians, if you will, right? So so they went every weekend, and it was Sunday for that hour. And then, they felt so good about themselves that that was plenty. And then there was no practice, there was no worship, there was nothing else throughout the week. So there wasn't really a relationship. It was almost like you went to class.
Yeah.
Right? And so...
That doesn't change your life, does it?
It doesn't change. It didn't change anything. So I learned a lot as far as lessons in the Bible, right? Different parables and different stories from the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of that in my wheelhouse, but I had no relationship with God or any walk with Jesus whatsoever.
So that took you down a bad path eventually then. Yeah. Tell us about that.
So when I graduated high school, they did a little ceremony for us there at First Baptist, gave me a Bible with my name on it, and I never went back to that church ever again.
Okay.
And I don't believe my parents did either. It just kind of stopped, right? I was out of the house. They felt like they'd done their duty.
Did their religious thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's what it was, too. It was like religious versus a relationship, right? So then I was about 23, and I was in a relationship. We had a boy. His name is Chevy. And we were together for about 6 or 7 years. And that... when that relationship came to a screeching halt, we had no faith in our relationship either. She moved back to New Jersey, where she's from, and my whole world just imploded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I had some not so good acquaintances that I'd known, right, in my after school years. And so, you know, it was real easy to those people, places, and things. It was real easy for me to get in the mix of something that would kind of take my mind off of the reality that I was actually living.
Right.
I had experimented a little bit with drugs, you know, right out of high school, smoking pot, and I had done some harder drugs a couple times, and I realized early that, hey, this could be an issue. Like, this, like I really like the way it makes me feel, right?
Yeah, right.
So, you know, in 2018, I can't remember exactly how it took place or whatever, but I left a bar with a buddy, and he was like, hey, he's like, you want to try some speed? I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So we did a little bit, and from that day, I think it was May 15th, 2018, from that day until June 19th, 2019, I used every single day.
Mm.
That quick. Boom. Hooked.
Just hard to comprehend.
And I mean, it's crazy. I remember my mom telling me one time that she was just a mess. Like, it broke her down real bad while I was in my addiction. But I remember her telling me one time that it's like 87% or 90% of people are addicted the first time they use crystal meth. If they snort it, that they're addicted immediately.
Wow.
And so
just beyond comprehension, the power
that
the enemy can use
exactly.
to keep us trapped in blindness.
Right. No. And the thing is like, and I used to share in some of the NA meetings that I led that like, there's no doubt in my mind and I can't lie to myself and say that today with almost 5 years clean, that today, if I used, I would absolutely love it. There's no doubt in my mind that I would not feel amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is it destroys everything around me. Like it destroyed everything around me: relationships, jobs, finances, my house, my vehicles, like everything, just gone. And I mean, it is absolutely the enemy infiltrating and just having complete control over someone's life.
And blinding everything around you, right?
Absolutely.
Blinding all of the...
Oh, yeah.
Blinding that your world is falling apart.
Right? I had no idea.
Yeah.
And, like, I would talk to, like, Chevy's mom would call me, and she'd be like, well, are you going to call and talk to your son? And I'd be like, I just talked to you guys, like, 2 days ago. And she was like, it's been a month and a half.
Wow.
But I didn't have a clue. I'd probably slept 2 times in that month and a half. So I hadn't... I mean, you literally are a zombie. No idea what's going on.
So what brought that to a to a conclusion? I mean, what brought that to the crisis? It really was more of a crisis, because I think you said this morning there were 8 visitors that showed up at your house.
Yeah, no, yeah. God showed up in the form of KPD and Drug Task Force team.
There
yeah,
we go.
Yeah.
Yep,
and
he shows up in different ways, let me just say.
He definitely does, and thank God, too. But I remember I was, you know, cuffed up walking into the jail, and Officer Shuey turned and looked at me, and he said, you just look like you're defeated. And I said to him, what took you so long? Mm. And he was like, wow.
Yeah.
But I'm in it. Like, like I needed rescued big time.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. And I knew that what they'd busted me with, I was probably going to be sitting down for a little bit, because they'd been after me for a little while, and there was drugs in the car. I had 3 different kinds of drugs in the car. I had a couple rifles in the back seat. The handgun that was on me was stolen. Like, it was...
That may be a negative.
Yeah, yeah. And like, in my high drug-induced mind, I was like, I didn't steal that gun. Like, I traded some dope for it.
There's a great win.
It's like, well, wait a second here.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that doesn't really suffice.
So what was going to be, what would have been your prison time? You were in for how many months?
I was in jail a year to the day, 365 days.
Okay. Uh-huh. And what were you facing had there not been a miracle?
So I had a level 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 felonies. So straight flush and felonies. And you don't want that.
That might be good in a card hand, but I don't think that's good.
No,
in,
it's not. Yeah. It's not acceptable.
Right.
That's for sure. But the issue with that is whether or not it's acceptable or not, it was on my plate. Mm-hmm. And, so I sat for a year, And like I shared this morning, you know, in that whole time, like I was, you see all these guys in there. There's a lot of guys in there that kind of link up and they do scripture together, and they practice what religion you can in there. But there's a joke in there. It's like, do you know why everybody finds Christ while they're in jail? And it's because nobody takes him with them when they leave. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going to be that guy. And I kind of am glad that I did wait, and because I, you know, I would have felt like a hypocrite in there, and I don't know that I would have dove into Christ like I did when I got out.
Cuz you need to be more desperate.
Yeah.
When you got out.
And like I said earlier, it's like the first couple years that you're walking with Jesus, well, you're on fire. And I really couldn't have been that on fire in there, mm-hmm. right? You can only do so much.
Right.
So I hadn't seen my public defender in a long time, months. And all he wanted me to flip on somebody. He wanted me to roll on whoever I was getting the drugs from. When I told him I wouldn't do it, he got angry with me. Mm. And he basically was like, so if you're going to throw your life away and you're going to do this, that, and the other, and, you know, just to protect these people. And like, he just basically told me he wasn't going to help me. And so I didn't see him for probably 9 months or so. And then, so I'm sitting in Miami County, and I know that my court date's coming up. Right. And I finally just got past that. All right. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be the guy that cries out to God when you need help, only when you need help, and you're not mm-hmm. praising him, and you're not, because like I knew all this stuff. I was raised to know, like, mm-hmm. to be in prayer all the time, and to have a conversation with God and thank him for things and praise him when he answers your prayers. And I hadn't done that in years. I can remember telling my mom that I didn't believe that God was a real thing. Mm. And that I know that hurt her big time, right? But I can remember sitting down and just being like, God, like, I just need a sign. Like, and this would have been like the first time I'd prayed probably in that whole time I was locked mm-hmm. up in there. It's like, I just need a sign of like what to do, what's to come. Like, just like, because I mean, you're just lost in there. You're locked up. You can't do anything. And he definitely answered my prayer, because I'm like, I didn't know that my public defender was coming the next day. He shows up the next day, and he comes in, and he shows me this plea. And I remember telling my dad, like, if they bring me a plea that's like 12 years, because I mean, I was, you asked earlier what I was facing. I was facing, let's say they max me out on everything, which they don't do, right? But if they max you out on everything, it's like 60 years on those charges, right? Now, they're not going to do that for a first-time right. offender and on those charges or whatever, but I knew that I was looking at around 20 years probably.
Okay.
Right? And the plea that he brought me was 16 years with six suspended, basically 10 do 5 years. So I'd do 5 years, I'd get out with five of it on backup time or on probation. And I was like, I told my dad, if he brings me anything under 12 years, I'm going to sign it, right? And so he brings me this plea, and they have this thing called RWI in prison. And so RWI is this recovery while incarcerated.
Instead of time served, you get to do that. They would let you out.
You would do, exactly. Right. You would do that. It would advance your out date. Then you would come out and you'd go into like what's called reentry court. And so I had asked him at the beginning of this if I could get what's called drug court, which is basically you plead guilty to all your charges. You go into this thing, and it's a year to 3 years is how long it takes to get out. But when you complete drug court, if you get through it and everything, and you graduate drug court, then they basically dismiss the case and they throw all your charges out, which sounded great to me because I wasn't a felon, right? I'd never been in trouble before. And so, you know, I'm, in my eyes, the best candidate for this program, right? The prosecution didn't think so. They wanted me to be a felon. They wanted me. He literally said he wanted me to have a DOC number, basically. He wanted me to be in the system as a felon. And so when you got that kind of energy coming at you, you know what I mean? I mean, I was, that's why I was like, Lord, like, what do I do? Like, what can I do from here? And he shows up and he shows me this plea or whatever. And I was like, well, can I get RWI on this? And he said, I'll tell you what, so that I don't have to drive back out here. 'Cause he had to drive 40 minutes to where I was. So I'm sure that really put him out of for his day, you know? So he had to drive 40 minutes to see me. So he doesn't have to drive back out here. He said, how about you sign that back page there? And I'll try to get the wording changed on the front. And I was like, I must look like the dumbest person he's ever met in his life right now, right? Which I'm sure I didn't look very smart, okay?
And not the sharpest electrician in the bin, right?
So I was like, I think I'll pass, actually. And so he very dramatically uncapped his pen. I remember it like it was yesterday, and laid it down for me to sign it. So I picked it up and very dramatically capped it back for him and slid it back to him. Like, I think I'm going to hire somebody. I ended up hiring. So my dad ended up hiring a super, super awesome lady. But yeah, she ended up getting me a drug court plea, and she had it in 2 weeks. She had it to me in 2 weeks. Yeah, it was insane. From that day forward, I remember her calling me. She was like, this is so serious, Cody. You have to honestly believe without a doubt that you're changed, that you're going to change, that you will not do it, because they will terminate you and you will go do 25 years for these charges. Like, it is not a joke. You have to ask permission to eat a bag of chips. So in drug court, you have to ask on Monday for things to do from Wednesday to Wednesday. So Wednesday, mm-hmm. you find out if the things you ask for on Monday, you get to do.
Right.
Right. And these are 20 to 50-year-old people in this that are having to do this with the judge and with their probation officers, right? But it's a great program if you work it.
Yeah.
Then it's fantastic.
Because you need the accountability.
Oh, I absolutely did. Yeah. And that's what I was gonna say. Like, I remember thinking, like, man, I wish I would have hired her 2 weeks in.
Right.
Right. But I wouldn't have. I'd have been getting high if I did that. Right. I needed to sit down and get clean time mm-hmm. under my belt and not like get to the point where you're like, I don't want to use. I do not want to use. So luckily I'd been in there about 10 months and I was like, look, I'm telling you, like I see the light, like I'm ready to get out and make a difference, and not just my life, but other people's lives. Like, it's I can't do anything from in here. So I end up getting out 365 days. June 19th, 2020 is when I got released. And I moved into the, so part of drug court is you have to move into the mission, the rescue mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I move into the Kokomo Rescue Mission and I lived there for a few months. In that time though, I'm going to Celebrate Recovery and Crossroads. And both of those, you know, I met awesome people that I'm still super close with today. So that was the person that was needing the help was Brad Breedlove. And he
our IT guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Been on the podcast before.
Who's been on the podcast with us. Yeah. That's right. A few times back.
Yeah.
Few weeks back.
So he said I was doing something and I don't know if I corrected him, which if he's listening to this, I probably did. But he
not surprising.
Yeah,
huh?
no, super smart guy. So whenever like something had happened and I was doing something, he was like, "Hey, you know how to do that?" I was like, "Yeah, I know how to do that." And then I did something else. He's like, "Hey, you're pretty technical. Like what's your background?" And I was like, "Well, you know, I was an automation guy. I was an electrician and an automation guy at my previous job." And he was like, "Man, we're looking for a guy like that right now at where I work." And I was like, "Well, where do you work at?" He was like, "Merrill Brothers." And I was like, "What in the heck is Merrill Brothers?"
Never heard of it.
Yeah. And so then he tells me that it's a biosolids management company. And I'm like, "What? Why in the world would you need an electrician for biosolids?" Right. Mm-hmm. A lot of things. Like we have,
there's
a lot of stuff going on here. But yeah, so anyway, he, you know, I'd met Dustin already, just being at Crossroads in and out. And then he told me, you know, that's who I would be working under. And so we chatted a little bit and he was like, "Yeah, I think you should come out and check out the place and meet the guys." So I came out here and met the guys and I've been here ever since. But, you know, what I remember walking in here for the first time and just really being so on fire and really just wanting to worship and to serve and just being and you can't come through here and not feel the presence.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so I remember walking through the fab shop and, you know, there's a little rock and roll playing on the small speaker in the back corner, right? but playing on all the speakers all the way around the shop was worship music. And I was like, "Man, where do they do this? You don't see that anywhere."
No.
Like there's a lot of places where you kind of, I'm not saying you have to hide it, but you kind of feel some type of way if you express it often, and you would never have to worry about that here.
Nope.
And so it's very comforting. Definitely a good feeling to have here, knowing that you're surrounded by people that feel the same way you do.
Yeah, and want to hear your story.
Yeah.
Like being able to stand up in front of the guys this morning. I know that wasn't easy, but being able to share your story with them, I mean, was impactful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yep.
So really appreciate you coming on here today and sharing your story as well. So I really appreciate you, man. I know like you touched my heart listening to you this morning and again today, and I know you touched a lot of those listening to this podcast, so thank you.
Yeah,
thanks, Cody.
Thanks for having me.
Thinking of that passage in John 9 when the religious experts say, "Hey, what happened? How did this all take place?" And what he said was, "All I know is once I was blind, but now I can see."
Oh, yeah.
And so we're so thankful that once you were blind, but now you can see.
Definitely.
So praise God for that. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lord bless you a lot in the days ahead.
Thank you.
Brian, I know you, like me, we were really impacted hearing Cody's story. We got to hear it twice today. And both times, it's just like, "God, how did you do that?" And my guess, Brian, is that there are people listening to this podcast who can I really identify with Cody in maybe ways differently than you and I can. Mm-hmm. Because maybe they're right there. Maybe they sense like, I don't know where to go next. I don't know what's my next step. I don't even know how to take a next step. Kind of where Cody was, but the God of the universe loves you and cares about you. And so we want to pray for you this morning. If there's some way we can help you take a next step, we want to be able to do that. If you contact us, then we'll be glad to get back with you. But why don't we just pray for the people listening today who Absolutely. May be exactly where Cody is, and they're crying out that they want to be able to see. Father, spiritual blindness and not being able to see our way clear is a part of life, because the far better life is the life that's lived with you. It's a far better life than we could ever live on our own. And Cody tried it on his own, and it ended up in a near disaster. But thank you for your rescue operation in his life and in the lives of those people that are listening to us. And so we just give you thanks for the fact that you love us so much that you sent your one and only Son, that whoever places their confidence and trust in you wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. And so we just give you thanks for the hope that we have in Christ, the fact that you can remove the spiritual blinders and give us life beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us know how we can pray for you. You can go to merrillbros.com, click the prayer tab at the top of the page. And as always, thank you so much for listening to Solid Start, a podcast focusing on life from God's perspective. Have a fabulous day.